This episode of the Damage Guild podcast is sponsored by listeners like you. Join the guild at patreon.com/damageguild to receive exclusive perks, member rewards, and bonus content.
Previously on the Damage Guild podcast.
Some sort of spiky red tendril bursts from the cliff above Alindria. She turns and dodges to the side just as it whips the snow under her feet.
I'll take a fire vial shot.
14 is just enough, and you have slain a giant. The remaining giant hits once with the axe, and Alindria collapses into the snow. A strange-looking creature opens its mouth, and it shoots out a long spiky tongue. Shaba, you are pulled up the side of the cliff.
Go ahead and cast a healing spirit on Alindria's space.
A vision of Stripey starts tending to her wounds. Captain Clapton stabs his sword directly into the giant's chest and rides it as the giant falls on its back. No one can defeat Captain Clapton! And with your second arrow, you have slain the brain dug.
For Stripey!
So let's loot the bodies. What do you guys think about looting some bodies? Does that sound good?
I would like to loot some bodies, please.
Okay. Yeah.
Tokus just digs in, gets really excited about the brain, armored brain creature. You see him, like, get out all of his vials, just start scraping.
Hey, what better use for them, right? Shaba's going to cut off all four ears of the giants.
What about the toes?
That's true. I'll cut off the four big toes as well. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
How much does a giant toe weigh?
Probably a few pounds.
How much does a giant toe go for on the market these days?
On the black market.
Wait, what is it that... isn't there something from giants that's a component for potions? Is it their nails?
Their ears, I think. Because you used the giant ear that I gave you as a spell component of some sort, I thought. Or you wanted to, and I was offended, but...
I don't know. Alright, so you collect your spoils. The giants had some coins on them, not a ton, but you get 8 platinum and 64 electrum.
Ooh.
And other than that, they've got various tools that they would use up in the mountainside, so like axes and picks and things like that, and a bunch of smoked meat for rations and furs.
Nice.
What were those coin numbers again?
8 platinum, 64 elect. 64 electrum? Imagine that.
Yeah, that's a nice haul. I wonder if we'll get to live long enough to spend it.
Maybe we can use it to bribe Sharakoth to not destroy the world.
Yeah, if he destroys the world, he can't
spend it either.
Enjoy all his power, exactly. Have no one to rule over if it's destroyed.
Yep. Maybe somebody should also go and grab Captain Clapton and tell him the battle's over, maybe?
I think he probably heard, you know, cheers and divvying up the treasure.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
So he'll hobble back down the mountain partway and rejoin you.
All right. How's everybody looking? I am very, very near death, and so is Alindria.
I am halfway near death.
Okay. So?
Well, we have a bunch of healing potions.
We do.
Do we want to try to rest and spend hit die first, or should we just chug some potions?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I put down the potions that Isric made for us, because I have one greater healing potion in my backpack and then one regular potion.
I've got a couple.
Oh, no. Never mind. I've got them down. I've got all four. Okay. So, yeah, I need, like, a lot of hit points. And I don't know if a regular potion of healing is gonna do it.
I mean, could we, like, make a makeshift igloo and a fire and kind of pull out?
I would say, considering that you're getting fatigue or exhaustion every hour that you're out here, taking a short rest here is not really possible.
Mm. Oh, it's so cold.
That's a good point.
Cold.
For you guys, anyway, I'm good. But,
yeah,
you're not going to get much rest in this weather.
We need to... heal up and get out of the cold.
We certainly do.
Yeah, let's pop a few potions and then keep moving.
Yeah, I think from an action economy perspective, I think it makes sense just to chug some of the potions.
Yep.
Like, I think the spell slots on you guys is much more precious.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Agreed. All right, let's do that.
All right.
Regular healing potion, 2d4 plus 2.
Yep.
And I can give you some of my potions if you guys deplete. I have some too.
All right. Let me drink a couple here. First one. Oh, wow. I got snake eyes on the first one. It's pretty good.
Hey, so did I.
Wow. Really?
Awesome, yep. Dude. Izric really knows how to make them.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it his fault? Like, did he, like, begrudgingly, did he make, like, mediocre minor healing potions because he was...
Yeah, he watered them down because he was secretly holding a grudge that you put him to work.
Well, yeah, or it was, like, easier for him to just, like, water them down so he didn't have to make as many for us.
Right.
I'll show Tokus for his dastardly, like, him thinking he can kidnap me to make him potions. And they're just, like, all super watered down.
Well... Captain Clapton takes a swig from his tankard, says that this'll do for now. I can keep going with this.
Is that just alcohol?
Oh, no, this is my healing brew.
Oh, that's fancy. Can we have some?
What's a healing brew?
I can only make 3 drinks of this per day, but I suppose if we need it.
I mean, Shaba's really injured. Surely you wouldn't mind if he took a Goliath-sized gulp of that, would you?
That's all right with me.
Oh,
just
really?
One drink each for the two of you.
Oh, wow. Nice. How much does that help us out?
It's going to be another healing potion equivalent.
Sweet. Thanks, Captain.
One for each of us?
There are 2 left, so one for Shaba and I guess for Tokus, if you wanted to use that.
Ooh, that's strong.
I already drank 3 healing potions. I'm up to 45 out of 53, so I'm in okay shape.
Oh, well, the first drink I took was strong. That got me 8.
Alendria will take some of hers as well.
Yeah, Alendria's not looking so good, guys. Did anybody check on her wounds?
Yeah, she's definitely not doing well.
Guys, I'm a little concerned about this adventure. We had some near deaths on this first encounter.
Yeah, that was a rough one. It was a rough one, I'll tell you.
Maybe we should turn back.
Tokus, don't be crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that's an option.
We have to keep going.
We've come too far. We're too close to the finish line here, Tokus.
But if we're dead, I couldn't bear for you guys to die. And if we're dead, then we won't get to see the world get taken over anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So... we should just go and, like, try to save the world, because then if we live and the world goes to the cult because we were cowards, then we'll have to live through the shame of knowing that we could have saved it and we decided to run.
But we could start a quiet life together, Shaba. The banana stand you always wanted.
You know what? You're right, Tokus. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So let's leave this place and never return. I'll just forget the cult ever existed. It's a perfect plan.
No. Shaba,
forget
just
what they did to your family and to your hair.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, my
just
hair.
Just forget your need for vengeance. It'll all fade away eventually.
And Tokus, like, thinks about his childhood and all the happy gnomes walking around, and I can't let their lives be for nothing. I slap myself. Get out of this mess. My brain's just... Guy, I don't know what came over me. I think it's the cold. I think this cold...
I think your brain is frozen.
Yeah. We need to get out of the cold, guys.
All right, let's keep going. That's the only way. The only way out is through.
So you quickly pack up your things. Do you take any of the giant stuff aside from the coins?
Is there anything useful?
Do they have any stuff worth taking?
Extra furs might be useful.
Oh.
Probably won't make much use of the tools considering their giant size, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tokus is going to take the skin and just, like, wrap himself up like a nice blanket over his head.
Yeah, I'd definitely take a fur and wrap it around my shoulders.
All right.
You know, it's not so bad. I mean, it's covered in blood, but it's so warm.
Yeah.
The blood just makes it warmer, right?
It's nice, warm giant's blood.
Any port in a storm, as they say.
And I thought they smelled awful from the outside.
So, you continue on up the trail for about another half an hour pushing through the blizzard. Then, all of a sudden, you rise above one last ridge and find yourselves looking down into the caldera below.
Whoa.
Amazingly, the blizzard ceases abruptly just a few feet past the rim. giving you a clear view of the basin of the caldera.
Gotta be a magical blizzard, right, guys?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a magical blizzard.
Has to be.
There's no other logical explanation. It has to be magic.
You know, Shaba, I hate to bring this up, but Stripey would have loved this place. Remember how much fun he had at the lava tubes?
Yeah, see, I was just going to mention that because Stripey would have thought to bring our parachutes, which I totally forgot, so that we could base jump into the volcano. but we're not going to be able to do that now. So.
Wait, you guys remembered your fire tunics, right?
Yeah. Forgot about that too.
I think you're envisioning something a little different from what's actually here.
Okay.
So, looking down from the rim, the snowy slope extends down several hundred feet before melting away and flattening out into a wide rocky plateau covered in many small pools of water.
So you're saying we should have brought our sleds?
Or our water skis?
Dude, Tokus, you can sled on your shield, can't you?
Yeah.
Here, get in, I'll push.
No, we can't do that. Isn't the back of my shield like what they see back at the ship?
Oh, yeah, they'll just see your butt, right?
Yeah, and they'll think that we're, like, not, you know, sticking to the mission or something if we're, like, waving our arms in joy.
Yeah, if we're going on a joyride.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be rude.
Yeah, we're not here for joy, Shaba. We're here for revenge. We can go sledding afterwards, after we win.
Sounds like a perfect celebration.
At the center of the basin is a small hill with a stone fortification set on top of it. Next to the fort, you can see an airship currently docked in a special structure built to house its hull. You don't see a balloon on this one, but you can make out the wings. A few other empty docks are arranged around the hill. Here and there in the caldera, you can see some scrubby plant life beginning to grow. More concerningly, you can see large clusters of humanoid figures milling about, scattered all throughout the valley.
Oh my gosh.
The fort is roughly a mile away from where you are.
Wow.
It's a big caldera.
So then the whole caldera is like probably at least a couple miles across then, huh?
Right.
Wow.
So there's really not much cover. It's like an open ice plain.
It's pretty flat and open, mostly rocks with melted water pools. Scattered.
So like almost like roughly basin shaped rather than like a, you know, a pit that descends down.
Yeah. Do you know like actual calderas, how they work? It's usually kind of sloped on the sides, mostly flat in the middle. Sometimes they form lakes and things because that's where all the water would collect.
Uh-huh. Right.
Huh. And then often there's a hill in the middle, too.
Yeah, I thought a caldera was just something that used to be a volcano.
Yes, but...
It's like a collapsed volcano, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I had to look that up. Not gonna lie.
So, Shaba, you're, like, familiar with mountains and stuff. Like, can you range? Yeah. Like, what's our best plan of attack to get to the fort without getting noticed?
Invisibility. We have to invis. It's the only way.
Well, but they saw through our invisibility during the airship battle.
True, but do you see any outposts or, like, wizards standing guard? I mean, there's just a bunch of figures milling about, so we can't really tell, like...
I think it's hard when it comes to the cult. It's hard to tell, like, what role that they play. I mean, maybe based on, like, what weapons they're wielding, we could figure out whether they're a mage or not. But, like, they're all kind of wearing the same getup.
So it's hard to tell what character classes they are. What class levels they have.
Yeah. We need to readjust our scouters.
Mm. Well, another idea, besides just going invisible, is we could just strap a bunch of twigs, like tree branches, to ourselves and go, digga, 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 and then pause, and then hope nobody saw us, and then go, digga, 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 and then, like, pretend to be shrubs.
Yeah. Do we still have our cult regalia?
Yeah, we do.
Did you guys keep your... Yeah, I wonder if we should just... like put on our costumes and then we could invis or pass without trace the people in the party that don't have disguises. That would save on spell slots majorly, right? I mean, like, what if we tried to invisibility the whole team and pass without trace the whole team, like, how much damage would that do to our spell slots? Wait, didn't we buy potions of invisibility?
Yeah, let's look at her.
Elindria says, I have one potion of invisibility that I could use.
I have one potion of invisibility. And then Captain Clapton says, and my axe.
Yeah, I have a potion of invisibility in my inventory as well.
Oh, weird. I don't have
any. Do we plan ahead?
What?
No.
No. That couldn't be. It has to just be happy coincidence.
Do we have 5 potions of invisibility?
No. Captain Clapton does not have one.
I don't, but I have a spell of invisibility.
What's the number of targets you have on that again, Asla?
So it's a level 2 spell, 1 target, or 1 additional target per spell level above 2.
And you go up to 4th?
Up to 5th now.
Up to 5th? Holy shnikes.
But that would be your 5th level spell.
Slot, yeah.
Right.
So between our 3 potions of invisibility and a 3rd level invisibility from Aslo, and maybe we throw on the extra layer of Pass Without Trace. I mean, how like noisy is it? We're stomping on snow, right? I'm super noisy. Tokus would be so noisy.
Is there like a hill somewhere nearby where there's like a bunch of kids in cultist robes, like sledding? And like maybe Asla and Tokus could blend in with them? Just put on their cultist robes and pretend to be kids?
No, there is no such hill.
Ah, bummer.
I think we could do this.
We definitely can, but, I mean, your initial point was about the fact that they had mages on their airship that could see invisibility. So,
right.
Do we think they have guard posts or lookout posts, or are even expecting to be infiltrated given the large blizzard surrounding their base? Probably not, maybe. I mean, do we see any lookout towers or guard posts around?
Just the fort, which has several towers on it.
Okay.
I mean, there are lots of ways to, or there's several ways to counter invisibility, but are there ways to counter detect invisibility?
See invisibility? No. I'm going to take a leap and say no. It's like the whole chicken and the egg thing with the police and their radar detectors, and then you can have a radar detector, but then now the police have the technology to have a radar detector, so they can tell if you're trying to detect their radar, and they can get you on that, you know?
Well, but, yeah.
So do they have a see invisibility for, do they have an extra layer of invisibility that can't be seen by see invisibility? Probably not.
Oh, guys, there is something that, sorry, this is like a rules aside, and none of us took this spell because it's really obscure. Non-detection.
Non-detection.
So that's the radar detector.
Yeah, you, for the duration, you can hide a target that you touch from divination magic, and I think
see invisibility is divination.
There is a way to get around it. We weren't fully prepared for this.
I mean, did any of us even have access to that spell?
Yes, it is available for.
It's a bard, ranger, wizard. Third level.
We are all those things. I am a true. Pretend wizard.
We are. That's our entire class: bard, ranger, and wizard. Yeah.
One of us could have had this. Mm. And we knew that we might need it because we went up against them with this before. Okay. Well, shoot. We got to leave. Alendra, you got to train us again to the next level so that we can switch out our spells.
Yep, so we can switch our spells.
Yeah. Well, no matter what, this is probably our best bet, right? It's either costumes or, and we don't have enough to go around, or it's invisibility.
Let's get in our costumes and then invisibility and then put the twigs on.
Won't they be suspicious that we're invisible?
Not if we're walking nonchalantly and,
non-suspiciously.
Yeah, unsuspiciously.
Don't we have some spells in our... Wasn't there like a spell when we were first arriving here that you were thinking about using, Aslo? What was that?
I think about using a lot of spells a lot of the time.
Didn't you have like some sort of like information gathering spell?
Oh, yeah.
I do have clairvoyance.
Clairvoyance, that was it. You were going to clairvoy.
But like you couldn't use it because of the storm.
Right.
But now you can.
And the range is 1 mile, as it turns out.
And you think that's about how far we are from the...
If I had to wager a guess, that's what I would say. Can place an invisible sensor within range. You can choose seeing or hearing.
Turns out the fort is 5,380 feet away.
Oh, no!
Dang it.
And I can basically either see or hear through it, and I can switch back and forth.
Wow. That might be worth a shot at this point, since we've come through the storm.
What level spell is that?
That's a level 3.
Huh, but you can... And it's concentration, so you can just switch back and forth?
Yep, up to 10 minutes.
I mean, couldn't we glean a lot from that.
Yeah?
We'd literally see the fort before we get to the fort.
We could get a rough floor plan and layout of it.
Well, you could also see, like, what, like, guards are on the parapets. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to tell you how to use your spell slots, Aslo, but this seems like an excellent time.
Yeah, I mean,
for that spell.
I mean, good idea is good. I don't want to walk into a building completely blind, not knowing what's inside or how it's laid out.
Yeah.
I mean, you took that spell to potentially cast it. I mean,
that was the whole point. Yeah.
You don't want to not cast.
I don't take spells to not cast them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. So let's do that.
Yes, let's cast some clairvoyance. And I do.
All right.
I clairvoy like my life depends on it.
Is there a range that it allows you to see from?
You can use the chosen sense through the sensor as if you were in its space.
All right. So where do you want to cast it? Do you want to put it like above the fort somewhere so you can look down on it? Do you want to put it?
Yeah, I kind of think above the fort, looking down.
Does it look like it's like a castle with like a courtyard, or does it look more like a solid building?
Yeah, does it have a roof?
At this distance, you can see it's a fairly small overall. It's like rectangular with a keep in the middle.
Okay, so there's like a yard.
Yeah, there's probably a courtyard with various buildings inside.
Yeah, so maybe from the top, you could glean a lot from that, probs.
See, yeah.
Kind of what defensive structures are there, or lookouts, or...
Yeah, let's go top down.
All right, so you cast your spell and look down onto the fort. Yeah, the fort has basic rectangular construction. Walls are built from volcanic rock and rise 30 feet up to the battlements, which you note have a roof, so you can't see how many people might be on them.
So it's like a covered walkway around the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Your tower is situated at each of the four corners, with two smaller ones flanking the gatehouse. Inside, you can see a number of buildings that are kind of built up against the walls. There's also the keep, just a little bit off-center. You can't see inside the keep, though. And from an upper vantage point, you probably can't see inside any of the buildings either, except that you note that one of them in the corner has glass all along the roof, and it looks like it's a greenhouse of some kind.
Hmm. Aslo, what do you see?
You see a well in one courtyard. At the moment, there are only a couple of men visible outside, both of them near the gate. There is also a rather large bear that is nearby that just seems to be wandering around the area.
Just wandering around, huh?
Well, I mean, it's tamed, or at least somehow controlled, because the guards are ignoring it and it's ignoring them.
Huh.
So,
man, if only we had, like, the ability to turn that bear on them.
I cast Dispel Bear.
Or, like, Control Bear. That's a very specific spell.
Control Bear. So narrow. Narrowest spell ever.
It's a silver bullet, if ever there was one.
You control the nearest bear.
And you just, like, keep prepping that spell. Like, everybody's like, you're never going to use it. Like, no, it's going to come up.
One day.
You finally get to say, ha! I told you I would need this spell one day.
Nobody said we'd be fighting bears.
Okay, so I relay all of that to the rest of the team.
Where is the location of the entrance to the keep in relation to the gate? Like, usually good castle designers will stagger them, right? So you can't just run through the gate and then into the keep. Like, they're either on a different side or they're around.
That's true.
Like a corner or something.
Fortunately, these were terrible castle designers.
Yes!
They actually built the keep on the outside of the wall.
It looks like the guards are standing in front of a portcullis, and then the keep is directly behind them, but on their side is just... Well, actually, you can't see their side because you're right over the middle. So it looks like, judging from the paths on the ground where people walk, the entrance to the keep is probably opposite the gate. So you'd have to run all the way through the courtyard, turn, and go back to get into the keep.
Around it, yeah. Okay. All right. And just one gate, you see?
Yes.
Okay. All right, boys. So, next question, is Sharikoth at home?
Next question, how many guards do we see?
You can only see two outside. You can't see how many might be on the walls, though, because they're all covered.
Okay.
So let's think ahead here. So let's go ahead and say we invis ourselves, or we come up with whatever disguises are available to us. And then we things go incredibly smoothly, and we get all the way to the fort without being seen or detected. Then what? Are the gates open or closed?
Presumably they're closed.
Well, a lot of times with a setup like this, they'll be open during the day and closed at night. But it really just depends. Depends on the comings and goings and the way that they do business and supply chain and all that stuff. If they don't expect to get many visitors, then one would think they don't want to have cultists knocking on the gates to open and close them all day long. Unless there's like a back gate or something. Yeah, what do you call it? A postern.
A postern gate?
Yeah.
From a vantage point up in the sky, I don't think you could clearly see the gate itself. You'd see the portcullis, and it's down.
So the portcullis is closed?
Yes.
So, Shaba, you did take the fly spell, right?
Yeah, I wish. So the clairvoyance point is not movable? Once you're there, you can't, change direction?
I believe so. I believe it is not movable. Yeah, remains in place for the duration. Yep.
All right.
Well, we wouldn't have learned some of the things that we learned if he hadn't chosen above it, but yeah. Hard to say if it's worth casting a second time.
What side is the gate on in relation to us, to where we are now? Like, if we were to run from where we are straight at the fort, what side would the gate be on?
Let's see, you're coming up roughly from the southern direction, and it looks like the fort's oriented so that the gate's facing south, so it's not perfectly towards you, but it's close enough to...
Okay. Towards. All right. So can we just look and see if we can see daylight on the other side to see if the gate's open?
I mean, it's a mile away, so I don't know how clear that would be.
Depends on visibility, really.
Give me a perception check.
All right. That's a 14.
I got less than that.
Tokus gets an 11 of perception.
All right, so you're not sure. You don't see any obvious light or opening in the wall, so you don't think it's open, but it is pretty far.
I take out my spyglass and look again.
You have a spyglass?
Yes, I do.
You didn't sell it or anything?
Okay. Nope.
All right, then yeah, with the spyglass you can look and scan along the wall. The gate is in fact closed. You also note that it seems to be plated with gold and have all sorts of fine religious symbols and stuff, decorations on it.
Wow, fancy. What about up on the walls? Can I see on the towers or the walkways how heavily guarded they appear?
You can see a lot of arrow loops or arrow slits, and every once in a while you can see a guard walk past visibly, like behind the crenellations and stuff. So it's like upper level has crenellations, but then it also has a roof on top of that, and then you can see some guards now and then walking by. Lower levels also have the arrow slits.
Do walking by, you mean do the corners have like towers that go up further than the main wall section?
Yes.
So then you're saying there's not guards that are just standing out along the walls. It seems like they're just walking back and forth between the towers.
Yeah, I guess you can see a couple that are visible just standing in the gatehouse towers. There's some standing on posts in the towers. Others are moving back and forth, either on patrol or just going somewhere else.
Okay.
But you're not sure. You can't get a solid count because...
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to count. I'm just saying, like, for the stretch of wall between the two towers on, like, a given side or, like, the side that's facing us, we don't see, like, guards just, like, standing every, whatever, every 10 feet or every 20 feet apart. Okay. And can we get an idea of scale based on the clairvoyance, like... How wide the sides of the rectangle, or how long the sides of the rectangle are?
It's somewhere around 250 feet, close to a square, a little bit wider than it is deep.
All right. And then, so in that 250-foot span, there are no, like, intermittent towers between the two ones at the corner?
There's the two at the corner, and then two either on either side of the front gate, so there are four towers on that side.
Okay, but then on the other walls, it's just the corner ones?
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. Well, what's our plan of attack here? Or our plan of getting closer?
Yeah, so we got to get closer, and then once we get there, If by the time we get there, the gates are closed, we don't have, like, standard grappling hooks to climb, do we?
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, speak for yourself. I have a grappling hook, dude.
I have a rope and grappling hook.
Elindria has a rope of climbing.
Ooh. Oh, fantastic.
Ah, does she have a grappling hook of grappling? Because I do. You can throw it at anybody and it will grapple them for you.
So it sounds like we'll be able to scale the structure if we can get there.
Yes, theoretically.
Of note, the sea invisibility spell does not last forever.
Are you sure about that?
Duration forever.
Duration infinity.
Well, no, just like depending on what casters they have paroling the caldera. I mean, I guess paroling? If they're totally...
they're patrolling. On parole.
Yeah. Yeah, they're on parole. No, if they've broken the law. So if they're tromping around, like, their spell's going to run out. Do they, like, have shifts? Do they just keep casting it? Like, even a really high-level caster doesn't... I mean, unless they're...
Yeah, that would be a
lot. Well, they could be downcasting. So here's my thought. If we wait towards the end of the day, they will have spent spell slots at least to maintain... see invisibility, if that is part of their strategy.
True.
And so at least we're going to be fighting them sans all of their second spell slots, including maybe they're, you know, casting even higher level spell slots as see invisibility, just because they're being told to patrol.
That's exceptional metagaming, Tokus. Brilliant.
I love
it. See invisibility is a second level spell, and it lasts only 1 hour. So in order for somebody to keep it up full time, it would be...
It would deplete all of their second level spell slots and then start to deplete third and above.
Right, right.
So if we think that they're starting their patrol freshly rested and then being ordered to march a reasonable amount of the day, I mean, it depends on how crazy Sherikov is. I mean, you think he's pretty crazy that he'd be ordering his mages to do such a thing. I mean, they probably get a lunch break.
So given that, given your point there about how much it would take, how many resources it would take to keep sea invisibility up at all times, I think the sea invisibility that we encountered with the wizards on the airship was a buff before the raid type scenario, right?
Yeah,
like they were going into the city and they're like, okay, we don't want to get caught unawares while we're in the city. We don't know, like, we know the enemy has powerful casters, so let's cast see invisibility and hold it up while we're flying through so that we don't get taken by surprise.
Well, I'm so glad that you brought that up, Shaba. We need to call in a fake raid.
A fake raid?
We could communicate to the airship and ask them to do a fake flyby and just pull...
The whole reason they dropped you off was that they couldn't fly in.
Into the storm, yeah. That's true.
No, but, like, true, they might risk all their lives to get in. But is there, like, an eye of the storm? Could they do, like, an advanced, like...
Well, aren't we in the eye of the storm, being over the caldera since the storm stopped right at the edge?
If they flew really high up and then dove through the eye...
Yeah, that would totally work.
Yeah. Let's just have them dive bomb the fort.
Yes.
It's even better.
Perfect.
It saves all this hassle.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is jump out at the last second and they'll be fine.
We'll just have them light the ship on fire and then fly it into the fort.
Yeah. Here's what I'm saying. We could really use
are some explosives.
Is a distraction.
Yeah, we could definitely use explosives.
No, we could use a distraction. So, like, what if you guys all go invisible? Me, since I'm tanky, I could disguise myself as the cultist, but I'm not invisible. And I just walk up and see what happens. And once I get discovered, they're going to spend resources on me and they're going to, you know, want to capture me, interrogate me.
So rather than trying to go in invisible and see if we get caught, you're going to just voluntarily get caught in advance of that.
Well, to distract them.
Really? You really think you're going to distract them that much? They're not going to notice?
Yeah, I just don't know what to do, you guys.
Let's get our cultist robes on, turn invisible, and just go. Because we're going to die one way or the other, so let's just see how much damage... Let's see how much damage we can do before they take us out.
We might as well get it out of the way.
I love the optimism in this party.
Yeah.
Is there really nothing we can glean from, like, staying on the outskirts and scouting? Like, should we maybe even spend a whole... I know we can't rest out here, but I wonder if we should spend time, like, understanding, like, their movements, understanding, like, how many guards are out marching.
I mean, we could, but, like, the incremental advantage we might gain, is that really worth the expenditure of time? I mean, I feel like when we teleported into Nenept, we were struggling to deal with a room full of, like, 10 guards, so dealing with, like, dozens or possibly hundreds of cultists, not even just city guards, but cultists. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of leeway in terms of how much of an advantage we can possibly gain.
Right. What does the caldera look like? Like, what is the fauna around us? Is it a snowscape?
There is no fauna. There is some flora.
Okay. But what's like the scenery?
The only fauna is the bear.
Exactly. There's a bear. The bear could smell us out. So, like, what's the ground look like?
There's some scrubby plant life. Looks like it's new growth, but it's like, you know, a few inches of scraggly weeds and stuff, and that's it.
I'm just trying to think about how the see invisibility spell works. I mean, like, they see through it, but if we were disguised, we might not stand out. We might, like, they have to physically look in our direction, even if they have the spell up.
Yeah, but again, I don't feel like it's the type of thing that they're just going to have up 24/7. I think your metagaming is on point. And the fact that it was a battle-ready effect that they're not necessarily going to have up on a given day.
Right, but if they do have it up, that means they're burning slots to keep it up.
Right.
So that's why I'm thinking maybe the end of an adventuring day would be more effective. Their wizards would at least be a little depleted of some of these spell slots.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there could be other effects that they want to have up during a day and that we're not thinking about. That attacking towards the end of the day could be good, but also if we attack at night, that potentially puts us in a different type of difficulty.
I think we're advantaged if we do night fighting is another thing to bring up. Like, my character naturally has dark vision.
Yeah, I mean, if a human wizard casts the invisibility at night, they might see the invisibility, but they might not see the thing that's invisible, right? That makes sense.
Because it's dark.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for a lot of reasons we strike maybe in the evening to night time.
At nightfall, we strike at sundown.
Can we survive out here that long? That's the question.
Well, once you're past the edge of the blizzard, it is noticeably warmer.
Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise the people up here wouldn't really be able to survive.
I mean, at the top of the ridge here, it's still pretty cold because you can still see all the snow on the slope and everything, but it obviously warms up as you go farther down because all the snow is melted down there.
Okay.
So depending on how far forward you wanted to move.
Okay.
I mean, how's everybody holding up? Like, what are health pools looking at? Like, how does Alendria look? Since we chugged those health potions and drank Captain Clapton's weird drink.
My health points are not great. I drank 3 health potions plus Captain Clapton's, and I'm still only at 33 of 76.
Yeah.
Oof. Do you want my greater healing potion?
I have a greater healing potion that I could use, but, I mean, if we're going to go in tonight, then I guess we're going in with whatever spell slots we've used, right?
Well, let's think about what we got here. So... here's a spell that we've never really had an occasion for because there's always been safe places to rest up. I could rope trick and give us a short rest opportunity because it seems That's like true. We can't, like Thane's making it sound like we can't short rest out here. Maybe it'd be too obvious.
I would get my stones back, which is essentially the equivalent of drinking a healing potion.
Yeah, and I get action surge back. I think I action surged in the previous fight. Just going off my notes here. So we get an action surge back. We get stones back. Brian, you could sing us a song. Yeah, hit dice.
Yeah, I mean, one can only assume that extra dimensional space is room temperature, which is warmer than it is out here. So
it might be time for me to make use of rope trick.
Trick it up?
Yeah, I mean, this has got to be time. I mean, like, okay, we're trading one of Tokus's 2 precious second level spell slots for... several abilities. You're going to get your bardic back too, right, Brian?
Am I? Yes, I am. That's right.
How much bardic do you have left anyway?
0.
Okay, so we get your bardic back, we get his stones back, we get my action surge back, we get to spend hit die. I think that's worth a second. I mean, like, We probably can't do...
So one other question, Thane, can we just go down into the rim of the caldera somewhere where we're still sort of hidden from sight and rest there? Is there anything like that?
There's not really anywhere to hide effectively. You are still a mile away, so they might not necessarily see you, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah, we risk getting seen if we just hole out for an hour. I mean, when you clairvoyanced...
Yeah, let's rope trick.
I think we should too, but when you rope trick... Not when I... Yeah. When you clairvoyanced, Brian, did you notice, like, guards that might have looking glasses or, like...
I probably couldn't see that kind of thing.
Okay. We have a looking glass.
Yeah, Shaba used it.
There were some guards posted in the towers.
Yeah, I mean, like, they spare no expense, the cult. Like, come on. So they probably... I think we should use my spell just to make sure it's a safe short rest.
Agreed.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Okay. I'm going to cast Rope Trick for the first time.
Rope Trick.
Okay, this is the first time you're ever inviting us up into your extra-dimensional clubhouse.
Yeah, come check out my... It's like a little tree... Tokus themed it like a treehouse. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, a little lab in the corner. Guys, come up here. Quick, climb quickly. Come on, before we get seen.
And as we climb up into it and Alendria's behind us, you tear down the sign that says no girls allowed.
Yeah. I'm sorry you had to see that, Alendria. And then I will pull the rope up into the space, making it disappear from view outside.
Oh, that was handy.
All right.
Super cool.
So you all rest in your extra-dimensional space. That does mean you can't really look out and see what's happening either.
No, like when we leave, they'll all be like down below, like waiting for us.
There's basically a window in the floor that you can look out of.
We come out at night and it's like Howl's Moving Castle. The whole fort's just nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, creepy.
All right, let's roll some hit dice, shall we?
Yeah, we need it. All right.
And don't forget to refresh your guys' abilities and stuff. I refreshed my action surge.
How much does your Song of Rest give?
That would be 1d8. We're level 9 now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's 1d8 now instead of 1d6.
Wow.
Very nice.
Sweet.
Guys, this is totally, totally worth a spell slot, what we're doing right now, right?
Definitely. The hit dice are going to get me back up to full. I can already feel it.
Okay, yeah, I'm back up to full.
Nice. What about you, Jay?
Getting there. Let's see.
We may not have another opportunity for you to spend hit die anyway. You might just want to deplete most of them.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if I use 5 hit dice, that gets me to 72 of 76.
That's pretty close. And that's after the Song of Rest?
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to use another one to top off. Yeah. Okay, that'll do it.
Top of the morning.
Andrea had to use 10 hit dice to heal.
What?
Yikes.
But she's okay now, right?
Yeah, she and Captain Clapton are healed up.
Guys, little did I know I had one of the strongest healing spells in the party. Or enablers. It's a non-combat heal. But this is how, I guess this is how wizards in D&D heal the party.
It's how we get through the dungeons without dying.
All right.
All right, so you spent a good, 15 minutes discussing your options before you rested, so you've been inside this caldera region for over an hour, and you're climbing out of your rope trick right before it ends, and you see something catching your eye up to the north.
I look to the north.
I shut my eyes. I can't watch. I have to look away.
So I'll be a little bit more clear. I'll say that you were in like the southwest side coming in, so south gate would be close to you, but then on the north side, you see a gap begin to open up in the storm clouds.
Oh, another airship is coming.
Moments later, you can see an airship flying through it into the caldera and towards the fort. It's listing awkwardly to one side. You can't see much detail at this distance, but there's something wrong with the ship.
I rifle around in my backpack and pull out my bazooka. I stick a little RPG in it. I get it ready.
We don't have to leave the interdimensional space yet, right? Can we just poke our heads out to observe this?
Well, this is... We wouldn't know to do that unless we were already leaving it.
Yeah, this is as you're getting ready to go.
Okay, we're leaving. I mean, maybe if we're planning to, you know, invisibility and or disguises and or... Like, wouldn't we do all that before we leave the spell? the space? Like, why expose ourselves to, hey, look at that party that's coming out, you know, down a rope?
Yeah. That's true.
I feel like we would, yeah, if we're going to do all that stuff, shouldn't we do it before we leave, just so we don't get spotted?
Yep, good call.
Yes. So I have my cultist robes on.
Yeah, I'll don my cultist robes as well.
I'll do the same.
You know, as much as I hate the cult, I think I look pretty good in these.
Gotta admit, you sure do. And I'm going to cast Pass Without Trace on the party.
And what about the invisibility?
I think we should drink potions, mostly.
Mostly.
So, who should drink the potions?
It doesn't really matter. We can, between the potions and one casting for me, we can cover all five of us.
Yeah, invisible for an hour. But you guys, we still haven't discussed what we're actually going to do once we get to the fort.
I've been thinking about it. I think what we do is we go invisible, we get up to the fort, whoever has grappling hooks, we throw, and Pass Without Trace, we grappling hook up there, and we just try to climb up the side of the wall, and...
We know how to fly airships.
Correct.
That's true, there is an airship now.
Yeah, like, there's a new opportunity presented here. Like, A, the airship is a distraction to them, like, to their normal flow, a little bit, right?
Yep.
And why would we scale the keep when we could just try to commandeer the airship?
Are the airships parked outside? You said there's one airship already there, right?
Yes, there's one airship outside with no balloon inflated.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but this one, even though it's listing, like, why? If it's damaged, they wouldn't expect us to try to commandeer it.
What are we going to do once we commandeer it?
We smash it into the keep.
Into the fort. That's a great idea.
And that's how we enter the keep.
That's a great idea. I love that.
Because we're outnumbered, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I kind of like this new ramshackle plan I'm thinking of.
I like it, too.
Like I said, man, I'm all for kamikaze. I mean, I think...
But how do we live through that?
Well, that's the whole meaning of the word kamikaze, is that we don't.
So, Tokus can do it. I have the armband of Altoria. When you take damage from any source, you can expend a charge to reduce the damage to zero.
Source airship.
Yeah. Obviously, what we would do is we'd fly low and fast straight toward it, and then, Aslo and I
you
would.
You guys jump off, and I'll make sure that it impacts.
And the captain and Alendria. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody gets off early. I make sure it impacts, and I use the armband in response to the explosion.
Right. As you're flying through the windshield.
I mean, not to meta, but like when you take impact damage in D&D, I bet it's one roll. I mean, sure, I could catch fire. Like, there could be other bad things that happen to me after the initial explosion, but the impact I could make deal zero damage.
Right.
It just says when you take damage from any source, you can expend.
I love it.
Yeah. All right.
I love this plan. Let's do it.
Okay, so we're invis'd, we're passed without traced. We're in our cultist robes, at least the three of us are, and we are leaving the rope trick.
Okay. In case it matters, who has the spell invisibility on them, as opposed to drinking?
Me and Captain Clapton, I'll say.
Wait, no, can you put it on Alendria and Captain Clapton? I think it could matter. Or is seeing through invisibility just like you can see through invisibility potion or the spell? It doesn't really matter.
Probably doesn't matter either way.
The reason I'm asking is for concentration.
Right. So...
Oh, true.
Well, isn't it only Brian that's concentrating? Oh, if we drink the potion, we don't get the drawback of doing things, breaking the invisibility, correct?
You still get that.
Yeah, you still do, but we don't get the drawback of concentration being broken, breaking the effect. Right. So if somebody hits the caster with an arrow, then they have a chance that it'll, dispel the magic.
Well, that's only relevant for if Brian gets hit, no matter what, because he's the originator of the invisibility.
Well, right, yeah, exactly. But it's still a relevant detail.
So should we have Brian drink a potion instead of casting it on himself?
And then we should have Alendria and Clapton be the spell invis'd people.
Okay, yeah, so you'll invis them, we'll take that.
We'll take that, Alendria. Thank you very much.
Alendria, listen, for this plan that we totally would let her in on the plan. For this plan to work, we need to drink your potion.
Yeah, we're going to have to go ahead and commandeer that potion.
I'm willing to relinquish the potion.
Thank you.
But don't worry, we're going to cast invisibility.
Rely on my skills if necessary.
All right, so I'm consuming.
Do you have, like, skills for sneaking into a castle, Alendria? You're, like, a high-level Mithril?
Of course she does. Is that even a question?
Yeah, like, how would you... Why didn't we ask her? Like, how would you and Clapton... How would you sneak in?
Well, she hasn't given it... She's heard us talking about it for the last hour and hasn't given us any input, so...
I think your general plan sounds like a good idea. We should avoid any sort of direct conflict with the guards whenever possible.
Yeah.
However much I would like to see them taken out completely, but...
Yeah, we have to stay off our bloodlust.
Should focus everything we can on taking out their leadership first. And to do that, it sounds like we should probably aim to go inside the keep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we are aiming to go inside the keep. We're just going to the airship first.
We're going inside the keep by way of crashing an airship. How about them apples? Let's do this.
Relevant question. Is the airship currently still flying? Is it docked?
It's flying in.
It's still flying. It's moving fairly slowly, or at least a little bit slower than your airship was, it looks like. So,
let's go. Enough chit-chat. Let's do this.
All right. Hopefully they dock and we can climb up or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, they've got like a little cradle for it, basically.
All right. Let's go.
Let's move in.
All right, so you start making your way down the slope, keeping an eye on the airship.
We're going at like a, you know, like a medium jog, I would say.
Okay.
Very quiet jog.
Do we want to do the shoulder thing since we're all invisible? Like grab onto each other's shoulders?
Oh, yes, good call.
The jog.
Yeah. At the moment, you can see each other's footprints.
Yeah, we should do it in descending height.
Okay.
So Shaba can lead the charge, and then Elendria?
Then the captain.
Then the captain, then me. Then Aslo.
Okay.
All right, so you're murking your way down the slope, and you're watching the airship. As you see it approaching the fort, it begins to slow down more, but something is clearly wrong with the controls as it takes an especially wide arc, passing by the fort entirely as it circles downwards. Finally, its hull crashes into the stony earth a short distance outside the front gate.
Oh, man.
And the ship falls onto its side, completely snapping off one set of wings, sending splinters everywhere, and it slowly grinds to a halt.
I whisper back, Plan B, grappling hooks.
Yeah, yeah, but this is like the perfect distraction we were hoping for.
Exactly, let's go, come on.
Yeah, there you go, let's do it.
Let's go. So how long do you guys think it takes to inflate the balloon? Should we try to commandeer the other airship?
No, you know, you're squirreling right now. No, Plan B, grappling hooks. Okay. Forget the airship.
Okay,
it's crashed.
Switch to Plan B, it crashed.
They already did our work for us. They crashed it on our behalf.
All right, so it's probably going to take you close to 10 minutes to get to the fort at a decent jogging pace.
Yep, 10-minute mile. What I always ran in high school.
I mean, I think I typically ran better than that, but you've also got all of your gear and you're running invisible through rocky, muddy ground.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely gonna take longer.
Yeah, no, I'm joking. I never got a second over 9.5 minutes in high school.
I don't remember my times. So about 30 seconds after the ship crashes, you can just make out a figure clad in black hobbling out of it. Out of the wreckage. Do you have your spyglass out still? There?
I've got it easily accessible. I can take a closer look.
So you can watch. It's kind of hard to keep moving and keep your the lens trained on him.
While jogging.
You see he's kind of dragging one leg behind, and then he goes and bangs on the door a few times.
The door of the fort?
Of the fort, yes. And as he's doing that, you can see, you know, a handful of other cultists come out of the airship and start making their way over. And after about a minute, the gate opens up and lets them all inside.
All of a sudden, there's just a secondary explosion. The airship just mushroom clouds. You know that, like, generator or whatever, the magical thing that was in the back?
Oh, the engine?
Imagine, it just goes nuclear. It just melts down.
Right after the last guy walks off and turns around and is like, whoa.
That first guy that came out, though, you noticed he was carrying something clutched tightly to his chest. You don't know what it was, but he had something that seemed to be very important to him.
Huh. Did we get a general shape of it?
Was
it baby-shaped?
It was wrapped up in a bag, so you couldn't see much, but...
Swaddling clothes?
It small enough to fit inside the... You know, the crook of his arm from elbow to hand.
And lying in a manger.
I
bet that's the scepter.
It could be.
You think?
Yeah.
Did the guy teleport from one airship to another? That would be really hard to do. I don't know.
I don't know. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
All right. That does bring up a point, though, Shaba. We could explode, potentially, the engines of these ships.
Yeah, if we knew how, or if we wanted to take the time to do it.
I don't know if it'd be hard.
Yeah, I don't either. That's why I don't want to get distracted with it.
But I think that's the distraction we might benefit from.
We've already benefited from our distraction.
Yeah.
The gates are open for the people to go in, for the crew of the ship.
Well, for a little while.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm on plan B, but if we need to make a distraction, we could send me to one of the ships. I'll blow up the engine room or the reactor. I could survive the explosion.
Took us. That's wholly unnecessary. let's remain focused on the goal. Okay, we have our plan B. We don't need to do that.
No, but if we blow up the airships, that's a big blow to the cult.
But also killing their leaders is an equally, if not greater, big blow to the cult.
Destroying the cult is also a big blow.
Yeah, true. True.
Yeah, yeah. I think. Well, so is the airship just laying there, or is it like actively on fire? Or,
well, there's two of them.
Well, but the one that crashed is just sitting out in the field.
The one that crashed, it's not on fire. It's just lying on the side. It looks like a good chunk of the side of it has been ground into the rock.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering who they were fighting. Unless that was the other airship that came back from the city, in which case that was a long journey.
Well, yeah, probably, right? Because we got a short head start on them.
How many airship docks are there?
You can see four.
Four, okay.
What? There's four of these airships?
So one is parked, the four other docks. Crashed, the third we have, and then there's one unaccounted for that's still out there somewhere.
There was one that crashed in town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They managed to take one down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so that accounts for all of them then. So, yep, we keep jogging.
So they've closed the gate by the time you get up to it. And those groups of figures that were just kind of scattered around the valley, there were a few in your path, so if you wanted to go straight through, you'd have to cut through them, but you could also weave your way around without too much trouble.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if we weave our way around and we see that the gates... I don't really even think we want to assault the wall with the extra gatehouse anyway. We want to, like, go to the nearest other side. It only has the two on the corners. If the gate's closed, then there's no reason to assault that side of the wall. So we want to stick to the... Let's see, we're on the southwest. So we want to go around to the more western side, then, that doesn't have the gate on it, and grapple that one.
Okay.
Assuming we see that the gate is closed.
Yeah, you can see that they closed the gate. All right, so you work your way up towards the fort... And you're passing close by the other groups, and you can see, especially if you want to use the spyglass on them, but you realize that these are groups of zombies that are just kind of meandering around the valley.
What? Weird. Zombies. Wow. What the heck? They're not even cultists? They're not dressed in cultist robes or anything?
Nope.
Dude, what the